Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Pick up a little on what Dick of Madison raised in the first segment. The draft opinion leaked by Justice Alito, dated in February, but it looked pretty final to me, semi-final to me. Obviously, they can tinker with it, but if he has five people lined up saying that Roe v. Wade has to be overturned and it's up to the states, that is going to have mind-boggling consequences. So let's start. Susan Collins is on the hot seat. Susan Collins voted for Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. She's a Republican from Maine, but she says she's pro-choice. You know, I have never, quite frankly, trusted Susan Collins. Let me tell you something. She had a contribution of a couple hundred grand, you know, under Citizens United. You get this dark money, black money. And she reported it on her contribution list as something like STEM for girls. Okay? STEM for girls. Science, technology, engineering, math. Who could be opposed to that? That sounded great until somebody sniffed around. And it turns out a lot of these dark money things come up with these really, really nice, sweet descriptors for their outfit. Apparently, I think this one had an office in Hawaii. There's one employee who didn't answer any questions, didn't know who she worked for. And it really seems like a conduit for dark money. And this is Collins in Maine. Now, so the thing about her, when she says something, now she came out, because Kavanaugh and Gorsuch are among the five that apparently can overturn Roe v. Wade. She said they misled the Senate in the confirmation hearing, and they misled her in private conversations in her office. What happens is when there is a Supreme Court nominee, one of the senators supporting the nominee, so if it's a Democratic president nominee, you'd have a Democratic senator, Republican, the Republican would be the guide. And he'll call his colleagues and or have his staff call his colleagues and arrange a time to come by and meet the senators. And in the old days, senators took this very seriously. Even if it was a nominee from the other party, they were really looking for the good of the United States. And they would sit there and have coffee in the office, and they would get a sense of the person, evaluation. They've read all the documents, but well, in the Trump era, and even prior to the Trump era, in the Moscow Mitch era, what the Republicans would do would be just to knife the Democrats. So Merrick Garland didn't even get a hearing, and some senators wouldn't even meet with him. They said, we've already made up our mind. We're not going to meet with the guy. Well, Collins met with Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and they just schmoozed her, she claims. Now, you know, when somebody as experienced as Susan Collins, she is long of tooth. Susan Collins was not born yesterday. Susan Collins is not in her salad days. Susan Collins has been there. And when she's saying these guys shined her on Roe v. Wade, I took a look at the video of their confirmation hearings. And, you know, in their confirmation hearings, they go on and on. They're saying, well, it's stare decisis. Kavanaugh even went and said, it's stare decisis. It's a very heavy burden to overturn it. And then he said, Roe v. Wade was reaffirmed and strengthened in Casey v. Planned Parenthood. And so that's a double burden to overturn it. Neither one of them said they wouldn't overturn it. You know, if this is your most important issue, you go to them, I hear you. Do I have your word that you won't overturn it, that you won't say it met that heavy burden? They would do a soft shoe that would make Fred Astaire look clumsy. They would go tap dance, doff their hats, shake their canes, and they would say, well, as you know, of course, a judge can't predict how he would. Well, you know, it's sort of like if Abraham Lincoln had sat down with the Supreme Court after the Dred Scott decision and said, do you pledge that you think that enslaved people are human beings and that if they escape, they can't be returned to be mistreated by their masters? And a guy had said, well, Of course, you know, I can't promise, but it'd be a heavy burden. Lincoln would have thrown him out of there. Lincoln would have thrown him out of there. So I don't buy this from Collins. I don't think she gives a patoot about any of this stuff. And because it was their nominee and from their party, she went along, and now she's going, I was misled, I was misled. Well, you know, at some point, if a president says he's misled, there's a guy named George Romney. You've heard of Mitt Romney. George Romney was Mitt Romney's father. He was the governor of Michigan, and he had been the CEO of American Motors, one of the biggest business big shots in the country. And he was running for president against Nixon in the Republican primary in 1968. And he'd supported the Vietnam War. But then in the primary, he realized he better be against the Vietnam War to distinguish himself from Nixon and Lyndon Johnson. So they said, why are you changing position? You're against it now. And he said, I was brainwashed. When I went to Vietnam to inspect it, they brainwashed me. That killed him. Because the thing is, we knew what he was talking about. He wasn't brainwashed in the literal sense. People don't want a guy who's brainwashed as their president, who falls for stuff. People do not want a general or an admiral or a secretary of state or a secretary of defense who's brainwashed. And they don't want a Supreme Court justice who's brainwashed, and they don't want a U.S. senator who's brainwashed. So when she says she was misled, she didn't use the word brainwashed, but she did exactly what George Romney did in 1968. She said, they tricked me. Well, you know, at some point you want people that don't get tricked. You want people who can see through it. That's why you have these office interviews. You can read them. You can look at their shiny eyes. If they have shiny eyes, they're probably not telling the truth. Now, the larger issue here, and there are many issues, you know, who done it? Was it Colonel Short in the library, the whiskey bottle? You know, the butler's lying there with a cracked skull, and there's whiskey all over the floor. These are the old English, you know, they have 20 people in the library, and the detective comes in and said, you did it. And suddenly somebody confesses after a lot of weird things. You know, I could care less, frankly, about that. I could care less about that. But what I would point out is this. Why are we obeying the Supreme Court? There's nothing in the Constitution that says they can overturn any law. Not a single thing. 100 years ago, there was a case in which Congress passed a law that they had to do something. And all they did was defend themselves and says, Congress can't order us to do anything. And then for years and years and years, they never overturned it. And suddenly they got cocky and they thought, okay, we can overturn stuff from Congress. The reason people put up with this and obey them is because we respect them and they have legitimacy. They have no army. Well, they no longer have legitimacy. And when you have a 5-4 decision with a confirmation during lame duck voted on by senators who were beaten in elections, rammed through, and that 5-4 majority is supposed to change the country, I don't think so. Everybody goes, well, you know, it's going to be the law. No, it's not going to be the law. The law is what we believe is the law. That's what Rousseau said. That is what Voltaire said. Doesn't matter what the King of France or King of England say. The hell with the King of England and King of France, okay? These people are setting them up that way. And when you start having doctors arrested and women arrested and women having to pay 10 grand to a plaintiff's firm who will take 40% of it and give 6 grand to the guy who ratted on them, at some point, people are going to say, and they increasingly, the Supreme Court, the emperor has no clothes. These people do not deserve to be obeyed. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
She got down, but she never got touch. She's gonna make it through the night.